Dear God, we thank you in the wondrous name of your Son Jesus, and we're just so grateful to God for the power of your might. Lord, we're so thankful to God for your ever-living faithfulness to us. Now, Lord, may we take from this time and learn more of the love of God, the love of God for each and every individual here. May we realize our need more and more this morning of the wondrous presence and life and praise and glory of Jesus in our life. Lord, thank you for bringing us here this morning. Thank you for your ever-living faithfulness to our lives. Thank you again that you are in each and every one of our lives as we believe in you as our Savior. God, take this time. May we magnify your Son. Allow the Holy Spirit to anoint each and every life. Open the hearts of your people. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd open up your Bibles today, we're going to the book of Ecclesiastes. It's been a precious study on my heart. I'm so grateful to God how He'll just move us with His hand so gently and so patiently with us. But we're going to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, and we'll read from verse 4 today. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Now, the Bible talks a lot about sowing and reaping. Matter of fact is if there is kind of a gist, there's many gists of the Bible, but this is one of the greatest gists of the Bible, is basically sowing and reaping. And in Galatians 6:8, it tells us very clearly and very bluntly that if we sow to the flesh, will reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. But as we get into this verse, I believe that the question came to my heart, and in some ways, I know in dealing with others throughout God's faithfulness in my life, they've asked the question, well, we sow to the Spirit, but what is it exactly that we are to sow? Well, I am so grateful for the Word of God, and I'm hopeful that we'll rely on it more and more in our lives. If we ever have questions for anything, let's go to the source that'll give us every answer, and that's the Word of God. It has every answer for glorious living there could ever be, every warning for any type of strain that there would ever be. And God is pointing us all the time to His wonderful Son, Jesus. And I believe the answer to this sowing and reaping question can be answered many places in the Word of God. But I believe so adequately, there's a verse upon our front steps as you come in the church. It's 2 Peter 3:18. And it says there, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace. We sow and reap grace. That is what the calling. I was reading this and I was thinking how I've mentioned many times before our dear pastor who has preceded us in heaven. What a farmer, naturally speaking, he was. How he loved to plant. How he liked to do all those things. I've never really had a liking to do that. I love to see things grow, but it wasn't that type of things. But praise be to God, in this I understand that we're all to be a bunch of grace farmers. You see it? I hope you relish this. But see, anything that will ever be reaped or sown in our life of any profit, brothers and sisters, is always going to be grace. But the thing that struck my heart really as the Lord was leading me into this verse is, Lord, this is implying here as it tells us that he that observes the wind shall not sow and he that regards the cloud shall not reap, that we're kind of reluctant. Maybe even at times fearful, maybe we're even downright looking for an excuse not to sow or reap grace. And I'm telling you, I had to take a step back here as I was being dealt with in the Scripture. I thought, well, Lord, isn't grace appealing to everyone? Doesn't everyone want grace? And I thought so till He really took me on this journey. And you know what He spoke to me in this verse is, you see, grace isn't easy to sow. It's not. I want you to follow me on this. Matter of fact, it's completely opposite of what our flesh wants to do. Now, let's talk about a couple things. You think about how does the majority of this old religious world think that heaven is attained? Absolutely. Works. Self-works. Being a good person. How about baptism? Whether it's infant or into our church. How about joining our church or our religious organization? And that is the church that you have to join in order to be the way into heaven. There might be some toes being stepped on this morning. And I hope so, because he'll do it just right. And then you think about Christians themselves. And I'm talking about a Christian, one who has accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. The vast majority of Christianity today is still bound in the thought that salvation is somehow temporal. That salvation is something that could be lost. That in order for me to find favor with God, it's by something that I am doing, some type of a self-effort, self-work, some type of an aspiration or something in my mind where I'm going to show the greatness of God instead of allowing Him to do the work. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We know, brothers and sisters, and I mean we know, that nowhere in this wonderful word of His grace can we find any of these detrimental thoughts. Amen. And I'll bring us back to square one. For by grace are ye saved through faith. By grace are ye saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. It's a gift. It's an absolute free gift. You didn't deserve it. He gave it to you. He saw your heart in ages past. He foreknew. And He predestinated you to know His Son. He gave that to you. How about if we believe not? If ye believe not? Have ye ever believed not? Oh my, come on now. Have we ever believed not? Absolutely. But what happens? He abides faithful, because He cannot deny Himself. He cannot deny Himself. And then we go on to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up. The Word of His grace is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Oh, brothers and sisters, may we know that we are saved, we are kept, we grow, we increase, we inherit. We're going to see Him face to face someday, and it's all by His grace. Amen. We are totally, utterly, completely His workmanship. And the only thing that He has called us to do, and this morning, isn't this wonderful that we can enter into this? The only thing that He has called us to do is to break up the fallow ground. And I believe, by the grace of God, none of us would be here this morning. None of us. I'm thankful for the work of God in each one of your lives today. But He's got you here because there's some more fallow ground to be broken up. There's some places in your life. There's some things that you're still hanging on to that, Lord, I don't want to give it all to You. But He's saying, come unto Me. Come on now. I want to do it all for you. And yet, how many times in our stubbornness, brothers and sisters, do we just keep ignoring the tender wooing of the Lord as He knocks and He says, come on, son. Don't be stubborn. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Give it to Me. Give it to Me. I was so grateful to God that I could get on my knees. So grateful to God I can get on my knees anytime. But I'm telling you, this weekend was a special time. Lord, I know You have it. I know I've given this issue to You. But I got on my knees and I said, Lord, I need it now. I've got to have it now. And you know, by grace, He gives you faith. And in believing, He doesn't withhold it and He gives it to us. And He gave it to me now. And I'm so grateful to God that as I'm speaking with you today, even more so, He speaks to me. And I speak with Him. And we have that conversation, and He understands my thought afar off. He knew the moment that I would hit my knees. And He was being thankful to His Father that He was able to be given to me that grace to come unto Him and to say, Lord, I need You. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. What He can do, brothers and sisters, there's nothing hard for Him. But I'm going to tell you this. There's no favor. There's nothing merited in my works. I was thinking of Brother Peter, how he wrestled with this a good portion of his life. And we know that again, it is grace. It's all by grace. It's completely by grace. We are His workmanship. As we open up our lives to Him, it's called yielding. So I would hope that we can see this very first one of this sowing, brothers and sisters. We do need grace to go out and sow grace. I'm so grateful to God. We're starting to hear that grace for grace. Our dear brother gave a wonderful, wonderful sermon, and that's all glory to God, so many months back, about grace for grace. I need grace in order to take the grace, to sow the grace into my life. Now, by the grace of God, and you're hearing it a lot, and I hope you'll just apprehend the grace that's apprehended you, and know, brothers and sisters, that it is His work. Now, I think we can see that this sowing is something He has to enable us to do. But I believe that there's probably some thinking, well, reaping grace, come on now. Everybody wants to reap grace. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to need grace to do that too. Right. Did you know that? You're going to need grace to do anything in your life. Stay with me on this. Praise God. You see, we can plant grace, brothers and sisters. We can be trusting God that we've planted this grace. But the issue becomes is we never expected grace to grow up into these plants so different looking. I'm telling you, there's some odd looking stuff that grace produces. It wasn't what you were thinking, was it now? Now, I want you to stay with me because I said something so many months back, and I'm so grateful to God that He had led me there. There had been people coming into my office, and I'm saying people, and I had been there myself. And I thought, Lord, I'm looking at people suffering so greatly, suffering things that are so beyond their strength. And Lord, it just seems as You're keeping me. And then the enemy would come in and kind of make different ones feel a little bit guilty and saying, you know, you're not suffering at all. But look at that poor fellow over there. Well, see, that's when we get in problem, is when we start looking at that poor fellow over there. I'm thankful to God what He's doing in your life. The Lord came into my heart at that time, and He showed me so sovereignly, son, I can take you in spirit. Stay with me on this. I can take you in spirit anywhere I want to take you. If you'll trust me, sitting right there at the kitchen table. Absolutely. It's an absolute truth. How God has taken each one of us so graciously into those wonderful things in spirit. That we can suffer jointly with Him in so many different ways. It's so wonderful what God is doing. But I'm going to tell you something. In this past year in my own life, I've been nowhere near the kitchen table. I haven't. God said it's time for active duty, son. I've really been thinking about this. And you know, again, by grace, to be a good soldier, to endure the hardships that He calls you to, He's got to enable you to do it. Been nowhere near that table. I feel I've been in some very strange lands, brothers and sisters. There's been some things that have been absolutely beyond anything that I could ever imagine going on in my own life. Have you been through jungles this year? How about finding yourself in some deserts? How about longing to be back at the kitchen table and saying, hey, Lord, I was just fine there. I don't know if I really want to go out there anymore. Be honest before the Lord. Isn't it wonderful that we can be just so real to Him? He knows us. He knows us. By the grace of God, He's just called me to say, son, will you understand my ways? And you see, brothers and sisters, I thought about this and I thought, Lord, here I was planning all that grace. Again, You enabled me to do it. And I was sitting there just watching it grow. So wonderful. I was sitting there at the window and just watching it grow up. Kind of almost like a little bit of a hothouse. You know, I talked about those reprieve times. Thanks be to God for those reprieve times. But you know what? Grace grows up. And there's a time to reap. And He said, son, it's time to reap. And you know, you'd think, well, again, Well, this is going to be some wonderful stuff, Lord. This has been all Your work. It's been all Your word. I've put it into my life by the grace of God, and here it is. And I start to rise up to look at that, and I sit right back down, and I say, Lord, I'm not going to reap that. Oh, my. I'm looking at that section over there in my life, Lord, and if I go reap that, I'm going to despair of my own life. If I go reap that over there, it's going to cause me to be pressed out of measure. If I go reap that over there, dear God, it's going to cause me to be removed from my familiar friends. Friday night we talked about sometimes a little bit of uncomfortableness is a good thing. We get so caught up in our lives trying to make it a comfortable world, trying to figure out how to be comfortable in this world. Well, I'm telling you what, I found it to be a truth. As we begin to get comfortable with Jesus and go that way, you're going to be more uncomfortable in this life. Right. It's just the way it's going to be. And I want to settle down with God. I know He's got a plan for me. I know that He has riches eternal that I could never even imagine. But He's saying, son, are you going to come unto Me and come out from among them and be ye separate? These are things that God is encouraging our lives. This is what God is tugging at us to come boldly to the throne of grace and say, Lord, I need that help. But I'm telling you, as I looked out there and I was thinking, God, there is no way that I am going to go out there and reap that stuff. I'm more comfortable just sitting down. I heard the words, rise up. Do you hear rise up this morning?
Hallelujah.
Oh, I hope you do. May God encourage us to hear Him say, rise up. Do you know He's able? He is absolutely able. I can testify personally that He is so able. And I can testify personally that every single one of us here today is absolutely, absolutely insufficient. And that you need Jesus. And you need Him more. And every day you get up, you need Him more. Because He's a pressing God. And this is a pressing time. But He's going to get you to rise up. And He's going to tell you, you know what, son, like He told me. He said, this is for you. Before ordained good works, sister, I never thought they looked like that. God, every time I turn the TV channel, they're supposed to look like, well, I'm going to have more friends and I'm going to have a bigger house. And looky there, if I go with God, I'm going to have riches eternal. And everything's going to be, in a sense, hunky-dory in my life. Let me tell you something. It's a narrow way, isn't it? We've been rejoicing in Daniel there. He's going to get us alone. I am so grateful to God for the family that I have here. I'm so thankful that I can look into the face of brothers and sisters that truly are beginning to shine as Jesus Christ Himself. It's awesome. But do you know that we're going alone? Do you know that you have to go alone with God? Do you know it's not a journey that I can go with anyone else except His Son? Except the Spirit leading me into the midst of that throne by the grace of God that He wants me to attain in Him? It's a narrow way. It's so narrow. It's the finest thread of grace. It's all by grace. I cannot bring anything in there but what He performs in my life. I'm just so grateful to God that He's causing this to happen. Are you looking out today upon the fields that He's allowed you to plant? And are you hearing today that that's your reward? Huh? Could you imagine that your reward is a body that's going to be stricken with something? Can you imagine that He said, son, that's your eternal inheritance, and it might cost you your job? Can you imagine that you look out upon this final section over here and you say, Lord, I've done so well, but why do I have to go over and get that contention with my own family? Lovest thou me more than these? Huh? Oh, brothers and sisters, it is the same old thing. Are we willing to go? Are we willing to fully go after Him? But you know, I'm going to testify to you, and it's something so great. He touched me. I was sitting over there all the time telling Him why I couldn't. Complaining, Lord, I'm not going to go that way. But He touched me. I can't tell you why, except He loves me. I could give you a lot of excuses why He should have ignored me and passed me by. But you know, He's a lover of my soul. And He touched me. And in that touch, I found that this tank that felt so empty was just absolutely full and overflowing. I had an absolute zeal to get on out there. If you will, my John Deere of faith was ready to roll. I think about my dear brother Jerry, how the Lord filled him on that tractor. They're a good Catholic boy, and he was just thinking about the things of God. Oh, I'm hearing about all these things of God. And nobody had even ever witnessed to him about the infilling of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And there he was as a young man driving that tractor, and bang, he got filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's the sweet brother that the Lord allowed to pray with me when I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm out there driving today by the grace of God. He's enabled it. He's got the wheel. He's got the power. When I felt, Lord, this just couldn't be this way. I can't go on. There's a God behind you and in front of you and beside you, and there isn't anything that He's not covering. And He's telling you, you're going to go on. Hallelujah. He's not telling me I can. He's telling me, let's go. Let's get it now. Let's reap every bit of this. And you know why? Because the season is about up. I'm here today to tell you again that Jesus is coming. Oh, I hope you believe it. I hope you're just singing it in your hearts, brothers and sisters. I can see it in many eyes here today. My Jesus is coming. Satan, get behind me. You're not discouraging me anymore. My Jesus is coming. And thank you, Lord, that you're living it today. I'm finally getting it. Even if He didn't come today, what a glory it is to live as if He did. That's all He's asked me to do by His grace, is to take it and abound in hope. Not just be hopeful, but abound in the hope of the coming of the Lord. That's the plan of God. That's what He wants in our lives. Complete passion. Boldness. I don't care how weak your frame. I don't care how weak and empty your bank account is today. I know if it's in God, man, you are so rich you could never imagine. Don't you want boldness? Well, He's right there to give it to you today. And I want to mount up on the wings as eagles. And I want to mount up on my tractor. And I want to get out there and I want to plow all that land. Because when He finds me, I want to have it all in the bin. The words of my wonderful Lord looking into my eyes and saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have a little strength, son. Lord, I didn't think I had a bit. That's right. It was mine all along. You've kept the faith. You've been rejoicing in my name. You haven't denied the right for me to suffer in your life. Man, I love that. Now come on here, honey. You're going to reign with me. You're going to reign with me. Exceeding riches of glory forever and ever and ever. And I thought, Lord, just seeing your face was more than enough. This is the Jesus that loves you. He wants a joint heir. Are you ready to make a move? Are you ready to rise up? Are you ready to apprehend that which by you're apprehended of Christ Himself? I think it's about time. I think it's about time. I think it's about time right now. God is calling each and every one of us. It's a passion. He's a jealous lover. And I want to mount up with Him today. I appreciated how many times I've read, whether it was Brother Copley or Sister Bodie, whether it was Brother Hill or some of the ones that would come and give us the Word of God. So lately, Brother Hines, do you feel the tickle of the wings on your back? I want to feel all six of them. I don't know about you. We haven't come this far to turn back. Oh no. There's too much at stake. It really is. God, to finish this. Every week, it just gets greater. Every week He puts me on my knees. I say, what do you want this week, Lord? Son, you just show up. But I'm going to tell you, I want you to delight in my appearing. I want you to rejoice in that I'm about ready to appear. I want you to be thankful that you're about ready to look into my eyes. I want you to be grateful that you're about ready to leave this old place. I want you to be just absolutely delirious with hope that today you could meet me in the air, forever being with the Lord and comforting one another with these wondrous words. Brothers and sisters, I don't know how we could sit still. I don't know how we could leave this place without rejoicing. I pray God each and every one of you would know how much He loves you. Like we said earlier, I'm grateful that we can talk about the love of God. I'm grateful that we know that as we put the Word of God in our lives by grace, we increase in faith. That we have kindness and love one for another. But glory to God, aren't you thankful you're a people that we come here and rejoice, and the greatest thing that we could ever have is to fervently love His appearing. Where do we hear that today? Something that's just a passing fancy to most. But in the Word of His grace, it's the greatest offering there ever could be. To be ready. To be the Lamb's wife. To be that fair one that He looks upon, that He delights in. That He says that that's the goodly pearl whom that merchant man sold all that he had to come for her. I hear Him whispering to me today. Do you hear Him whispering to you today? The Holy Spirit telling you, you know what? That could be you. I'm about ready to jump out of my body. I don't know if I'd scare you too much. Oh, but I want to see Him. I want to look upon His face. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
And that's only completely by His grace. Let's bow our heads. God, we thank You for a time of fellowship with You. Lord, thank You for Your bread that You bring so freely every moment to break with us. You're so attentive to every need here today. God, as You mentioned beforehand, You don't want a heart to leave this place that didn't receive the fullest of increase of Your love this morning. God, what You're planting and sowing and reaping and gleaning in our lives. God, it's always good. It's always perfect. May we be a people that wants to yield to the Word of God. Help us to be men and women that surrender to You this morning. God, help us to know that the way of peace and righteousness and holiness and thanksgiving and prayer and praise and worship is in only Your Son. God, help us to wake up, to not be sleepy, to not be drunken, but to be sober and to be aware and to be awake and to be not just alive, but abundantly alive and quickened for the coming of Your Son. Glory be to Jesus for this wondrous truth. Thank You for Your keeping power upon Your people. In Jesus' name, amen.